Hey everybody, welcome to Camp Kaiju Monster Movie Podcast. I'm your co-host, Vincent. Just wanted to step in and give you a heads up. The official countdown for season 4 begins now. Actually, it's going to be next week. So next week on May 18th, we are going to be dropping our season 4 announcement. Me and Matthew Cole Levine, we are coming back at you with some great monster movies between July and December. So next week, expect a full-length episode. We're going to give you the rundown on those titles. We're going to announce them. I'll give you a sneak peek and say that this July, Kaijuli, you can expect Godzilla Kong the New Empire, followed by Ishiro Honda's King Kong vs. Godzilla. What better double feature can you ask for, really? Now, enjoy 30 minutes of talking about Lovecraftian monsters, Reanimator, The Thing, Color Out of Space. Max Hannum from the Frozen with Fear series is here to dish and expand upon the glorious episode from season 3, actually. So yeah, we love this stuff and hope you do too. Follow us on campkaijupodcast.com. Follow us on wherever you listen to podcasts. Hit us up on the social medias. Let us know how you're feeling about it, what monster movies you've watched recently. Just, we want to hear from you and feature your voice on the show as well. So anyways, until then, can't thank you enough and stay campy.
Just discovered something. For 100,000 years, it was buried in the snow and ice. Now it has found a place to live. Inside. Where no one can see it. Or hear it. Or feel it.
I know I'm human. Some of you are still human. This thing doesn't want to show itself. It wants to hide inside an imitation. It'll fight if it has to. But it's vulnerable out in the open. If it takes us over, then it has no more enemies. Nobody left to kill it. And then it's won.
You guys gonna listen to Gary? He can beat one of those things!
Did I ever tell you that there was, like, a theater at Alamo that was like 12 seats?
No.
Like, the screen was maybe like 10 feet long, but it's just like a very small little theater for those indie films that are like in week 3 of being shown that like no one's really going to. And I was like, this is nice. It's like that's the stuff you'd find and you want to like rent out as like a party or something.
And this theater, if you come to visit for more than a night, it's a really cool place I would take you to. Yeah, so they got different kinds of programming going on. The last time I went, I saw a kung fu movie from the 70s that some guy, it was like his life goal to restore it, and it still looked really bad, but he found it, like the film,
yeah,
in a box in a basement somewhere, and everyone had a good time.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Okay, because I haven't done an actual format for your podcast.
That's all right.
Because we were just kind of doing our own thing before.
Yeah,
obviously you'll take charge, I guess. And then,
yeah. It's all the same stuff we would talk about. We're just designating a time and place to talk about it.
Yeah, where we were just talking about everything all at once and then kind of just going in and out of stuff and using the plot as a through line.
which I do like, I do appreciate. That's most movie review podcasts I listen to.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. Not the direction I wanted to go in.
Yeah. Oh, that's. I figured you were doing things a specific way for reasons, and well, you weren't there to guide us through the process, so we just messed around.
But it should be different enough. I'm going to record. Sorry. Have you listened to your episodes?
No.
Great.
I'm sorry, I've been very busy and it's hard to find the motivation to listen to a conversation that you had, you know?
Trust me, I rarely listen to my past episodes of my own
Yeah.
podcast. I added some fun things. I think they're fun. In the beginning, middle, and end, I've created the conceit that me and Matt are like you and Corey are broadcasting live from McMurdo Station,
Yeah.
and me and Matt are elsewhere, like in a booth or something. And
Yeah.
on our end, a monster attacks us, and like we get ripped to shreds and stuff. But you and Corey are completely unaware of this.
That's fun. That's a fun idea.
And in the middle, I had a lot of time on my hands. Like I mixed in machine gun sound effects and breaking glass. I took a sample of the thing from Another World when they're like they're in the radio room and the thing breaks in through a window and there's, wind effects and stuff. So.
Yeah. I might have listened to an audiobook of Who Goes There. Or maybe it was something else that was like in winter and there's a lot of that sound effects. But yeah, that's kind of funny, especially considering the last episode we did not shoot in Antarctica or record. Like in Cold Skin, it was like, hey, we're back to do this last thing. We're actually at the equator now.
I haven't listened to that episode yet because I want to watch Cold Skin before I work on it.
Yeah.
How was it recording that stuff with Corey? How is Corey? I'd like to meet him someday.
He's good. He's got a lot of information of just like I'm terrible at names and remembering names of actors, and especially when it's like low budget movies that are bad. It's like, why am I spending the time remembering details about this?
Yeah.
But that's like his bread and butter, all that.
That's
So I'm sure
good.
you can tell in like the episodes of him just pulling out names and it's like, it's the person from this. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. He really likes low budget, I guess not even necessarily low budget, but 70s Italian horror films or just like good bad movies. He was the one who brought up Glorious. Yeah, we were watching some Lovecraftian movies. I think we watched Dagon or something, and then From Beyond. And he hadn't seen Dagon before. I hadn't seen From Beyond, funnily enough, even though I've seen all of other Stuart Gordon's Lovecraft stuff. But then we watched this Glorious, which I hadn't heard of before because it's that Shudder original.
Yeah.
I don't have Shudder. He has Shudder because he likes good bad movies and it's a bunch of horror movies on there. Turns out I actually have Shudder. Because Emily has AMC, which owns Shudder, like the subscription service. So we just watched it last night because we're like, hey, we have it.
I liked it a lot. I was surprised.
So I enjoy it, but there are moments, particularly the beginning and the end, where I'm like, this is very amateurish in like the script, like the dialogue. But overall, I enjoyed it, yeah.
There were, yeah, I had some qualms with the script, and sometimes it just felt like,
They're just passing time.
no, sorry. It the
Oh, well, I
aesthetic was
mean,
very like, oh, this is like a Shudder original movie, or
yeah. Well, it's clearly low budget.
Yeah.
But it's a great use of a low budget.
Oh yeah, I didn't mind the low budget. Like in the beginning, when they're following him in the car, it was that like it was so digital. It would look so good. It just looked too good. It looked like a car commercial in a way.
Oh, like
it was framed
car driving and
yeah.
I didn't think of that, but I could see it. For me, it was you have J.K. Simmons, but it's just his voice, which I guarantee you their thought was. We need a really good voice actor, and he is a really good voice actor. So that's one thing. But also, like, maybe they couldn't have afforded to have someone of that caliber just there the whole time in person.
Right.
It's a four-person cast, three-person. Five, I guess, with speaking roles.
Right. Technically, with like, there's flashbacks, too.
And they have, yeah, there's some extras in the flashbacks, but because you have like the main guy, the girlfriend, J.K. Simmons, Gary, and the woman trucker at the very beginning. There's a lot to talk about, and it's not all good.
I feel like there's a lot to talk about, but there's also like not a lot to talk about. What makes a movie Lovecraftian?
That's kind of what I was getting at. It's like there is an encounter or a quest for knowledge that leads to an encounter of these otherworldly beings or whatever that we didn't realize exist. And it's just like the faintest sort of interaction with these forces, kind of like once the main character understands the true horror of things, the story kind of ends. You don't learn all of the answers of the situation. It's more just like, oh, you kind of get like what happened in the story, but it's like, wait, but what about that, like, I don't know, race of alien beings? Like, I want to know more about them, but it's never explained more. It's just, it shows that little sliver of their culture that is shown in the story. And Glorious is definitely 100% fits that mold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
What are some other, From Beyond is a, the first 10 minutes of that movie is an adaptation of a Lovecraft short story.
Oh.
And the rest is like, just continues the story.
Mm-hmm.
That's another Gordon one. A Vincent Price movie. It's called Edgar Allan Poe's The Haunted Palace.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not an Edgar Allan Poe story. It is a complete adaptation of H.P. Lovecraft's The Case of Charles Dexter Ward, which involves a wizard who's doing like necromancy and stuff by drying people down to powders. And
there's a Boris Karloff movie called Die Monster Die, which is an adaptation of The Color Out of Space.
And then there's the, obviously, the newer Nick Cage Color Out of Space.
Mm-hmm.
There's a German adaptation, Defarb.
Mm-hmm. Scanners, too, right?
Scanners.
Yeah, or Reanimator, which is...
Scanners. I'm holding up a copy of Scanners.
Or is it Reanimator I'm thinking about?
You're thinking of Reanimator.
Yes.
Which is probably Stuart Gordon's most famous work. Oh, and then there's another one. It's set in a castle. I don't know, I can't remember it. I haven't seen it. But it's another Stuart Gordon adaptation of a Lovecraft. That cosmic horror isn't a lot, but it's also what's more pervasive is just Lovecraft's influence.
Yeah.
All of Guillermo del Toro's work.
Mm-hmm.
He specifically made The Shape of Water because he loved those creatures, those deep ones in The Shadow over Innsmouth. So in that story, it's always about like fearing these creatures. And Del Toro was like, yeah, but what if he didn't? What if he wanted to befriend one or whatever? And that's what The Shape of Water came out of, because he had wanted to do an adaptation of The Shadow over Innsmouth, and it never happened.
Yeah.
So he ended up just doing it on his own, but he took his own take that he had had as a child, like reading that story.
Yeah.
And that's why there's that like love relationship between one of these creatures and the main character. So that's Lovecraftian. There's Lovecraftian elements in the Alien series.
Oh, yeah.
Prometheus comes to mind, where it's like people going out to a remote area and then they find like signs of a greater civilization that is no more.
Mm-hmm.
And then it bites them for it, for like having the hubris of searching for more knowledge.
I'm inching closer to getting in the mood to like watch the entire Alien franchise. I haven't done it yet. I haven't seen all of them yet. but I'm getting closer to it. I'm actually working through, this is off topic, but that's okay. The Planet of the Apes series.
I've seen like the first one and then maybe a random other one, the remakes.
Listen, do yourself a favor and watch those five original ones. Surprisingly, all solid to exceptional films.
Okay.
Even the weakest one, you're like, that was still a really good movie.
Yeah, I mean, I heard they kind of get campier as they go along, but
they do.
I really enjoyed the first one.
Oh, the first one I think is a legitimate masterpiece.
Yeah.
I
was just looking up another movie. I couldn't remember the title of it, but Event Horizon is another Lovecraftian.
Yeah, I saw that one pop up on lists too.
That's a fun one. It's not the best movie, but it's very similar to the Dead Space video games. I know you're not really familiar with, but if you're out there listening and you like Dead Space and you haven't seen Event Horizon, go watch it because it's very similar. It's almost like Hellraiser in space, and I don't mean Hellraiser 4 Generations.
Yo, we got to have the Hellraiser podcast spinoff.
Maybe that'd be a Patreon exclusive, just a Hellraiser series.
For those of you who don't know, years and years ago, this was like our very first attempt at a podcast. It wasn't even, I happened to be there.
Yeah, what happened was, so me and our friend Thor, we were living together, we were roommates, and for some reason, we just decided to marathon all of the Hellraiser movies that were made at the time. And we did it over 2 days, and I think it was like 9 movies in 2 days.
Ultimate pleasure, ultimate pain.
Yes, ultimate pleasure and ultimate pain. And that is the best brief description of your emotions during that, because they get bad really fast. But we did decide, hey, we just did this. We got to talk about all this. So we tried to record like an episode. Vincent, you were there.
Yeah.
But that's still that feeling of, I need to get this out of my system. I've been holding in all this Hellraiser. I need to get it out. But now they made the newer movie. I got to watch that now before doing it. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe we'll get together at some point, talk about that as special episodes or something. But also some other fun Lovecraftian adaptations. Like, these are straight adaptations. They're very low budget. There's like a 1920s silent movie.
Really?
It's done in the style of that.
Oh, okay.
Adaptation of The Call of Cthulhu, which was made by the H.P. Lovecraft Historical Society.
Oh, yeah.
And then they've also done The Whisper in the Darkness, but that one's done more of like a 1930s, 40s movie.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a look if you like Lovecraftian stuff. They have a lot of props that they make for the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game.
Mm.
It's a very popular role-playing game. I think it's been around since the 80s. They also have a bunch of radio dramas.
Really?
That they do. It's literally like radio drama adaptations.
Oh, we listened to Innsmouth once, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've since bought a handful more. It's called Dark Adventure Radio Theater. And then they've done some other adaptations of non-Lovecraft works, but still of that style.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a whole host of, across all different types of media, of Lovecraftian stuff. Books that are written in the same genre, style, movies. There's that role-playing game. Video games are everywhere. You can find them. There's a new game that just came out called Dredge, where you're a fisherman just fishing around, and then you start coming across some Cthulhu beings, I think, or some dark rituals.
Nice.
And you got to beat it by fishing.
Nice.
Herbert West is at the top of his class in medical school.
How can you teach such drivel? These people are here to learn, and you're closing their minds before they even have a chance.
What are you?
He's brilliant, but a little weird.
I've broken the 6 to 12 minute barrier. I've conquered brain death.
His experiments have always been unorthodox.
It was dead.
But lately, they're getting out of hand. And he's just made a discovery that could wake up the dead.
Herbert West has affected reanimation in dead animal tissue.
What are you thinking? How do you feel?
You?
15 cc's of reagent being administered.
Once you wake up the dead, you've got a real mess on your hands.
Ah!
Dead? Not anymore.
Herbert West brought a lot of dead people back to life, and not one of them showed any appreciation. H.P. Lovecraft's classic tale of horror, Reanimator.
Mr. West.
You'll never get credit for my discovery. Who's going to believe a talking head? Get a job in a sideshow.
It will scare you to pieces.
You see Megan?
No.
Or Cocaine Bear?
I'm not.
So those are two recent horror movies, yeah. Monster movies I have seen. And they're good. They're solid. But they're lacking a certain boldness and outlandishness.
They're just generic enough.
Yeah, just enough. Where Glorious is like, see that? Remember. That now you're thinking outside the box.
Yeah, and maybe it's just the whole glory hole joking and all that. But it's like, they did a Lovecraftian, like, cosmic horror story in a bathroom around a glory hole. It's like they just pulled random elements out of a hat and they made a movie out of it.
Yeah.
It works. Like, I super enjoyed them doing a full cosmic horror story in just a public restroom.
This is the type of movie I feel like you and I wished we could have thought of.
Yeah. It gets your,
in our movie making.
Yeah, get your creative juices flowing of like, yeah, why didn't I just think of that? Why am I thinking of such a grand scale of things when you can achieve the same effect for such a smaller scale?
We could have made this movie.
We could have. And that's, like, if you're an aspiring filmmaker, watch this movie and not necessarily copy it, but it'll get you to realize what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always have to make, like, your mind doesn't always have to go to big budget stuff. It's like, oh, I can't do that. It's too big of a budget. It's like, here, you can see the seams a little bit, and that's fine for the level it is. So you can make that.
It's great.
And then to provide potential logistics, like they build an ice pier there just because of the weather hazards or whatever. They have to build an ice pier, and it's just a block of ice reinforced with rebar.
Mm-hmm.
But every so many years, they have to get rid of it because it degrades. Like, it actually started breaking up last year. So this year we helped them and we towed that ice pier out and then helped them a little bit with building a temporary floating pier. But I think by next year there'll be a new ice pier. But just small little things like that to help out while we're down there. And then occasionally you'll see a cruise ship come in behind us.
Oh.
Because they're not ice-breaking cruise ships. So a lot of those Antarctic cruise ships, especially the ones leaving from Australia and New Zealand, will just follow us in because they know the ice is going to get broken. But they can't do it. Like, there's only certain times where they're allowed to do it. It's like after our operations are done.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes the ice refreezes enough to where they can't actually get through. Yeah. So you've spent all this money and then you can't actually get through.
I never even considered, like, what the tourists are doing.
It's not a whole lot of tourists because I think it's over $10,000 for a ticket on one of those cruise ships.
Ooh.
But I think there are more affordable and more consistent cruise ships that leave from South America. Punta Arenas in Chile is a big hub where the cruise ships leave out of. When we were by Palmer Station, which is the Antarctic Peninsula right around there, we saw more cruise ships because I think it's just naturally less icy.
Yeah.
And the scenery is a little bit more beautiful. It's like bluer glaciers and things like that, as opposed to by McMurdo, it's all white ice. Like, it's a little bit more desolate.
So I think it's hard to fathom, like, truly desolate places on this earth. Is Antarctica just, like, what is the sense of being there as a human on the planet?
I like to compare it to being on the moon.
How? Why?
It's empty. It's desolate. McMurdo Station, they, like, do what they can to keep the ice away, especially in the summer. So it's like it's a giant gravel pit. So it's just like very fine dust. And you have all these modular buildings. And I was like, this is what a moon base would be.
Whoa.
Like the actual McMurdo station.
Yeah.
You'll just like, we'll be breaking ice. So it's just ice, like frozen sea for miles and miles.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like standing out there on the ship. It's like, this is interesting. And then like, you'll just see a random penguin just walking around. It's like, where'd you come from?
Life
doing out here. Yeah. There's only like four animals you'll see there. You've got like a seal. You've got a penguin. You've got the random bird flying around, but it's all like the same type of bird. It's a skua. And then you'll see some whales.
Orcas
and then mink.
Interesting.
Because the whales will follow us in as we're breaking the ice. Mm-hmm. Because it gives them a place to come up for air, but it opens up all of the under ice hunting grounds. So they'll just follow us up. I mean, they'll get right up to the ship, because occasionally we'll stop just on the ice for the night and not move anywhere. So our propellers are off. So the whales will just come up right up to the ship, like within feet. So you'll just like look down and they're just right there. And there's like a whole pod of whales just playing around.
Not to make this an Antarctica podcast, but do you ever see the Southern Lights? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, it's the Southern Lights. Well, the northern ones are Aurora Borealis, and the southern ones are Aurora Australis. I didn't see them this year. I saw them last year, but I only saw them for like 5 minutes, because then I went back inside the ship to be like, hey, the Southern Lights are out there. And then we get back out and the clouds have like covered 90% of it. And I was like, well, they were.
Okay, you're in Antarctica, most remote place on Earth. All I'm picturing is the thing, John Carpenter's, you know, yes, aesthetic, where it's just like a couple of buildings, nothingness. Great place for a monster movie. And you decide to watch some monster movies.
Yes.
So the ones you chose, were they the only ones like available to you? Or are there some that you're holding out on us maybe for later?
Well, really, there aren't too many Antarctic movies. There's a lot of Arctic movies.
Yes, I noticed that in my own research for suggestions. I was like, oh, Tremors, Cold Day in Hell, takes place in Canada. Interesting.
And really, we chose like Alien versus Predator because that's a like without a doubt set in Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed campy enough and like fun enough to cover, especially. Yeah. Like for this podcast, you know, monster movies, things like that. We didn't want to watch like a movie of just some like a hardcore drama of some guy going through winter alone in Antarctica or something, or like
it wouldn't work for this podcast.
Last Days of Shackleton or something. Then we went with The Thing, like John Carpenter's The Thing, because Corey and I both really enjoy that movie, and it's the movie that is the Antarctic monster movie.
Mm-hmm.
We watch it on the boat every year when we get down there.
Mm-hmm.
We have a giant screen with a big projector in our helicopter hangar.
Mm-hmm.
That we set up. I wanted to talk about The Thing 2011. Corey hadn't really watched it much, didn't think too much of it.
It's fun. It's
I watch it almost every single time I watch the original one. It's different enough. It's a different type of horror that they go in with. It's a little bit more action-y monster as opposed to suspenseful monster.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
I think I've only seen it that one time in the theater, and I liked your recollection in your own podcast episode when we all saw it years ago. But I think it's underrated.
I think it's aged better than the receptions it got at the time.
Yeah.
When you look at the other sort of like remake, prequel, sequels,
mm-hmm,
that were coming out, especially, I think it started around that time, but it's just continued.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the better ones.
Yeah.
Now the CGI isn't the best, but it's still solid enough.
Yeah, it's fine.
Same way, like you look at old movies with practical effects and it's like, okay, you can see it's a little wonky sometimes, but it's still fun. To forgive it. And then Cold Skin, we're so originally only going to do three episodes of those, and then we watched Cold Skin, Corey and I, just watching movies on the boat, and we're like, we should talk about this one. This is a fun movie, and it's kind of out of left field. It's probably not, it's definitely not as well known as the others. Obviously, it's newer, yeah. But that was a surprisingly good one. Yeah.
I have seen the future of horror. His name is Clive Barker. Unleashed.